Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you all again on this afternoon. We pray that that tonight's lesson will be something that will encourage you as we go through the week. This morning, we spent some time talking with our men about making the transition from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity, and we realized that spiritual maturity is on a continuum. We don't ever just get there. We're always working towards being spiritually mature. And we emphasize the importance of men being in the right place and taking the right place in God's kingdom so that we can grow. And I know that our message on this morning was one that challenged the men. And this afternoon, I don't want to just challenge you. I want to encourage you and let you know that God has something, that God is ready to use you. If you would turn your Bibles to Exodus, the fourth chapter, the 10th verse, 10 through 18. It says, Moses said unto the Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if you were, if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take his staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. And Jethro said, go and I wish you well. Is that in your Bible? All right. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, you are his man and he is ready. You are his man and he is ready. We talked about men taking their proper place in the kingdom today and what happens when we don't take our place in the kingdom and what happens when we don't align ourselves. And I'm aware that the reason why many times why we don't allow ourselves to lead or we're not in the right place is that we feel like we don't have the ability to do the job well. And we feel like that there is someone better off to lead the people. So sometimes what ends up happening is that we are thrusted into roles that we ourselves are not convinced are roles that we should be in. And what happens is when we're not convinced that we ourselves should be leading, we lead and we grow. We kind of lead haphazardly. We lead from a spirit or from a deficit mindset. We don't lead from a performance or we don't lead from a mindset that I know I can do that. We lead from the mindset that I'm just going to do the best I can. Y'all follow me? And it's important for us to understand that God never expects us to do anything from a deficit mindset. And the reason why he doesn't expect us to do anything from a deficit mindset is because God is not a deficit God. Right. See, God is in control of all. God rules all. God can do any and everything. And when God does what God is going to do, he does it better than anyone else can even dream or imagine. So because we serve a God that is above all and a God that has all power, God expects us to walk in that same power. But what happens is that if we are not confident in our skills and our abilities as men, we end up walking and we end up leading from a woe is me kind of mindset. Just like Moses was doing. See, Moses in the fourth chapter is just continuing what happened. And, you know, at the end of chapter two, Moses is sent. Moses the Pharaoh has died, and Moses has been with Jethro for 40 years. In the beginning of chapter 3, God has appeared to Moses and told him that he wants Moses to go ahead and lead the people. All throughout chapter 3, Moses gets into this debate with God about why he is not the person to go. In chapter 4, that debate continues. Y'all follow me? So Moses is not willing to move forward because Moses has already decided that he is not worthy enough to do the work. I am aware that in many situations amongst men in the body of Christ, we feel the same way. I'm going to get up and help lead prayer, but I'm really not the best prayer. I'm going to get up and do this song, but I'm really not the best singer. I'm going to get up and try to lead this ministry, but that's not really where I need to be. And what I need you to understand is that God does not wait for you to be ready. God sends you when he is ready, which means that when God has placed something on your heart, what he's saying is that you are my guy and I am ready for you to step up to the plate and do what I need you to do. Let me help you with this from a very personal standpoint. When I was I met with the brothers, Brother Prowl and Brother Daniel, about coming and speaking here at Hart Street, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm telling you. I have spent the vast majority of my Christian life and my life period, but my Christian life in the ministry of music. I am very comfortable even to this day. I am more comfortable leading worship in song than I am preaching or speaking. It's just the way that it is. Now, maybe one day that'll flip-flop. But right now, if you ask me, what are you more comfortable doing, leading song or preparing a sermon, I'm going to go with song. Because that's what God has, where I felt like God has given me my gift. Brother Daniel will tell you this. When him and Brother Proud came and mentioned to me, we would like you to speak, my first response was, nah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm not a speaker. I'm a singer. Now, if you want me to come over and lead your worship service, I'll do that. But I'm not really a speaker. And Brother Proud called me a second time. He said, well, we hear that you teach class. I said, well, at best, I'm a teacher. And he said, well, why don't you just come over and teach something then? Right? I wasn't ready. We went and I started speaking here almost every fifth Sunday to give Brother Jones a break. And then there was an opportunity to come and work as the associate minister. Guess what my first response was? Nah, I'm good. Because I did not see myself as being a minister. But let me help you understand. I'm still not ready. I'm still not where I think I need to be. But God does not wait for me to get ready. He comes and sends you when he is ready. Y'all follow me? So what I need for the men of the Hart Street Church to understand is it is your time to step up and lead and be better than we were the day before, not because you're ready, but because God is ready for you. Y'all got me? Now, what the text shows is that when God is ready, there's nothing in the world that you can do about it. You can make the argument. You can talk about your deficits. Moses had a very good reason for not going and leading the people. I can't talk, Lord. I can't talk. I am slow at speech. I'm not eloquent. I've never been able to talk. And since you and I have been in conversation about me going to lead the people out of Egypt, I ain't been able to talk with you. That's what he says. He says, now, Lord, I can't do it. I'm not your man. And what I need you to understand, men, children of God, don't ever worry about your obstacle, because there is no obstacle that's too big for God. And God makes this very clear to Moses. He said, you can't talk. Who made your mouth? Who made the words to come out your mouth? Who made your eyes and gave you the ability to see? Who made your ears and gave you the ability to hear? I did all of that. So pretty much what he's saying to you, to Moses, is that why are you worried about your mouth when I'm the one who made it? See, so God, there is no obstacle that God cannot help you overcome. Men, there is nothing that you have gone through that God won't help you to get over so that you can lead in his church. Some of y'all, some people say, well, Lord, my past is just too rough for anybody to follow me. Moses was a felon, y'all. He was a murderer that was on the loose. And God used him. I need you to understand where we are. There's nothing too big for God to handle. Just do what he says. But sometimes, now watch this. Sometimes God will still allow you to lead. And you notice God doesn't say to Moses, you know what? I'm going to fix your tongue. I'm going to make you an eloquent speaker. God sent another man to help Moses do what Moses needs to do. Y'all see that? He got mad at Moses. He said, Moses, that the Bible says that his heart started to burn against Moses. And then he said, well, you know what? What about Aaron? Your brother, the Levite. He speaks well. What I need you to do is, I need you to tell Aaron what you want to say. And Aaron will speak as if I'm going to tell you, you're going to tell Aaron, and Aaron is going to speak as if you are God to him. See, when God has sent you, don't worry about what you don't have. He'll give you what you need to do the job that he wants you to do. Which means sometimes he will help you to complete a job, and he won't use you to complete the job all by yourself. He'll send somebody else to help you do what he needed you to do. This is clear in scripture. God knew that Moses was a leader. God knew that Moses had a presence that the people needed to see. And that presence was more important than him stuttering. So men, we have to understand, when we go to lead and when we go to step up to do things in the church, sometimes everything that is needed in the church will not be done by you. He'll send somebody else to work alongside you so that the work can get done. But what does that mean? That means when you lead, when you work, you need to work in the area that is your strength. Y'all understand? Some things everybody shouldn't do. Hear me? That doesn't make, because Moses is not the one who's going to be speaking to the people, that doesn't make Moses any less of a leader. It's just that he's going to need some help to get to where he needs to be. Y'all following me? So I need you to understand, as you work and as God works on you, don't worry about your deficit. Just walk in faith. God will send you what you need. And then watch this. He says, so Aaron will be your mouth. But what I need you to do is I need you to take Aaron's staff and do miraculous things with it. I still need you to be the leader, Moses. But I'm going to have Aaron to work in his strength so that he can do what you can't do. And I'm going to need you to do what Aaron can do, which is lead and be the presence of the people follow. Man. Y'all follow me? So it's important for you to understand that there is no obstacle too big. And secondly, that your job is not to do all the jobs. Your job is to do the job that God gave you well. See, sometimes we live in a competitive society. So what ends up happening is we feel like we can or cannot do a thing or do one thing or the other because we're comparing ourselves to somebody else that already does it. And God is saying, don't you worry about what's going on. I just need you to do what I told you to do to the best of your ability. And then I'm going to send you an errand to do what he can do to the best of his ability. Your gifts may not be the same, but they are both needed in the kingdom. But the bottom line is this: God was not willing to let Moses do any other thing but lead. What he was saying to him is, Moses, you're my guy, and I'm ready for you now. I want you to understand, man, God is saying this to you. He's saying, Robert, you my guy, and I'm ready for you. He's saying, Drexel, you my guy, and I'm ready. What am I? I'm ready for you to do what it is that you do well. See, I had a young man use an example yesterday. We love it when, even if we don't like the actual team, we love it when the coach gets up and he says, Marcus Mariota is our quarterback. Now, you might not like his skills. You might not like what he does. But when the coach gets up and says, Marcus Mariota is our quarterback, what that means is all the rest of the discussion is over. This is who I'm running with. He might make some mistakes. He might throw some interceptions. He might lose some fumbles. He might throw some incompletions. But the bottom line, good or bad, this is my guy. Well, what I'm trying to tell you, men of Heart Street, is God is saying to you, you're my guy. You're not going to get it right all the time. You might throw some interceptions. You might make some mistakes. But the bottom line is, I'm ready and you're my guy. Don't be afraid of what you can and cannot do. You're my guy. And I'm ready. But Lord, I'm not ready yet. I didn't ask you if you were ready. I'm ready. God is ready for us to move. Which means he's ready for our men to take the right place in the kingdom of God. Eric, you his guy. Brother Jones is his guy. Brother Proud, his guy. Brother, how can he have so many guys? Because everybody has their own role. And then it's one of my favorite parts of the scripture. When God has identified who his man is, the only thing that the other men should do is wish him well. What do you mean? The Bible says, then Moses goes back to Jethro. And he says, I need to go to Egypt where my people are. I got to see if they're still alive. And Jethro responds, says, go ahead and go in peace. Go ahead and I wish you well. What does that mean? Jethro could have been upset about Moses getting the role that he had because he was going to leave his flock. But when God has sent a man to do a job, all the other men need to do is say, go in peace. If you're a man and you're looking at some other man trying to figure out why that man is doing what that man is doing, you need to get the Jethro attitude. Go in peace. Because God has identified that man. You're his man and he's ready. I need you to understand it. You're not perfect. Guess what? You won't be perfect when he starts to use you. If he's using you now, you're still not perfect. As a matter of fact, I have not found a perfect man that God uses in the Bible other than God himself, which is Jesus. Right. Abraham was a liar. What do you mean he was a liar? Every time they asked him about his wife, he said, that wasn't my wife. He's a liar. Solomon couldn't figure out how many women he wanted. Well, I'm just talking. Peter cussed. Moses was a murderer. We could just keep on going. Zacchaeus was a thief. Everywhere you look, God used a flawed man to do the job. But the bottom line is, once he says you're his man, that means it's time to go. I'm convinced that if you're here tonight and you hear my voice, that God has said to you, you're my man. Now the question is, are you Moses or are you Aaron? What is the role that you're going to play? I'm not sure what the role is. I just know whatever the role is, play it and do it with all of your might. Man. The children of Israel would have never been led out of captivity without Moses. But let me tell you something. The children of Israel would have never been led out of captivity without Aaron. Yeah. They were both needed. We hear the story about Moses, but Aaron was there right next to him. Man. Aaron was the one to help him speak. Moses was the one who held the staff, but Aaron was the one who gave the marching orders. God needs his man to do what his man and only his man can do. Amen. Ladies, if this sermon didn't touch you, that's okay. You his woman too. I need you to understand this. You his woman, just like Moses had a job, so all the women, you have a job as well. I need you to understand that. And just like you can't be concerned, a man can't be concerned what the other man is doing, you can't be concerned what the other woman is doing or the other. Do your job. Man. If your job is to do, is to work in evangelism and knock on doors, do that thing. Some of the best teachers of the Bible that I know are women. Man. You got to get out there and spread the word. I don't want you to think that your job is all enough. You might, your job might be to work in the kitchen, but that ain't it. The Bible says in Proverbs in the 31st chapter, it says that a woman looks and she surveys the land and she buys it with her own money. What does that mean? That means that a woman can not only work and do well, she can be have an entrepreneurial spirit and go do it herself. Women, if God has put his hand on you, do the job that he said do. I just need you to understand that God is wanting all of us to do what we need to be doing. Amen. And the only time the kingdom fails is when the soldiers don't fight. Uh-huh. That's it. Only time we don't grow is when we don't go out and do our very best to grow. When they could not find Osama bin Laden, they had the army out there, they sent the Marines, they couldn't find them. And then eventually, the President of the United States said, well, let me get the Navy SEALs. And he sent the most specialized forces to go find them. And they found them, got them, did all they had to do in minutes. And they did it because they were specialized. They knew exactly what they need to do when they went in there. What I'm trying to tell you is that there is no other army. You are the Navy SEALs. God has sent you here to go find the lost, do what you got to do, and do it in a way that only you can. That means every one of you should feel special about and unique about your gift. You're a Navy SEAL. You're God's best. Best man, best woman. God is ready. You're his man. You're his woman. He's ready. Listen to him. There was one man that God had and he could only do one job. He was the Navy SEAL of all Navy SEALs and that was Jesus. He didn't try to send anybody to do Jesus' job. Jesus came and did it all by himself. He came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and got up with all the power that he needed in his hands. And the reason that because Jesus was so good at doing his job, you and I can have this message today. You and I can be able to see God in peace in eternity. That's who we invite you to come and meet. That's who we invite you to believe in, is on Jesus. Believe that he's the Son of God. You heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess his name, Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized to arise to walk a new life. You can do that. You can do that right now as we sing the song of invitation. Just as